Good morning, everybody. It sure is great to see you. Happy belated Thanksgiving, and merry early Christmas to you. So JJ saying that she's competitive is a colossal understatement. Just saying, if there's anybody here that's competitive, you haven't met competitive until you've played the game of life with my wife. How many of you ever played the game of life? You spin the dial and you move the thing, and we were playing the game of life one time with some friends of ours. We were on staff at a church, and he would change the rules just to try to get under her skin. And he did that pretty successfully. Every time she'd spin the thing, it was like, and I just thought, oh man, you better stop it, because I'm the one that's got to go to bed with her after you go home tonight. Stop it. So today we're beginning our Christmas series, God With Us. Aren't you glad that God is with us?
Yes.
So we're going to talk about God with us, but I want to talk about some different types of guides. Turn your Bible with me to Isaiah chapter 7. There's two passages that we're going to look at primarily this morning. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and then Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 are our two main texts that we look at today. While you're turning there, I want to show you a couple different pictures on the screen of some different kinds of guides. And so go ahead and take a look at this first picture here. This is a map with a legend. Y'all see this here? And so as you're looking at this picture, I was kind of looking at some different pictures to say, how can I illustrate this? And so as you look at this, here we have the state of New Hampshire. Our camp is going to be happening somewhere over here in Alton. But here we are right in the middle. Here's Laconia. And in Laconia, it says that this is over 20,000 people. And so this is current as of 2017. So this was pretty interesting to look at. You can look at different populations of different cities or towns in the state of New Hampshire. But if you didn't know what this was, if you didn't have a legend, you would look at this and go, okay, well, all I see is a bunch of colors with a bunch of city names in the state of New Hampshire, right? So this guy, this legend, tells us what we're looking at in this map. Here's another one. Take a look at this one. So this is somebody's speedometer who shall remain nameless. It's mine. I'll just tell you. So as you're looking at this dashboard cluster, it tells you quite a bit of information, doesn't it? What are some things you see here? Gas tank is just about full. Yeah, that's a good thing. It was 112 degrees the day I was driving. Yeah. Yeah, somebody just said you drive fast. Yeah, I took this. Yeah, I'll just. Okay, here we go. Yes, I was driving. Apparently, somebody told me I was driving faster than the angels are allowed to fly. And so I was a little concerned then, but I'm here today. And so 112, yeah, I don't miss 112 in the least bit. And so it tells me that I'm in drive. It tells me how many miles I have in my car. Now, I'll just tell you, I'm one of those guys who likes just the kind of random odd things. So I'll take a picture of the dashboard from time to time. One time in the van, it said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I thought, that's really cool. So of course I grabbed my phone while I'm driving and I took a picture of it. And every now and then JJ will scroll through my pictures just to see what pictures of the kids I've taken. And she's like, what's this picture of the dashboard? And I'll go, well, just look at it. When it turned 100,000 miles, that was a big deal. I took a picture of 100,000 miles. And so, 75, I don't recall where the speed limit was when I was driving that day, but thankfully there were no policemen around. Okay, let's go to the next picture. So this is another guide. This is a tour guide. I have never, nor will I ever have the desire to climb Mount Everest. One day, I would love to climb to the top of Mount Washington. I hear it's a pretty good hike up the hill, and it's a pretty awesome view from what I hear. So I think that would be great for me, but having to have oxygen and a guide to guide me to the top of Mount Everest, not on my bucket list. Might be on yours, but not this guy. And so what's great about having a tour guide is tour guides can point out points of interest where you're at, right? In 2007, I had the opportunity to go to Israel. That was a really cool trip. Now, I knew a lot about Israel because I grew up in church and heard a lot of Bible stories of, you know, when Elijah and the prophets of Baal and King David and when Jesus was crucified. And so I knew a lot of it, but if I didn't have a tour guide with me, it would have been just me looking around going, oh, this is really cool. I'm in Israel, but I don't know what I'm looking at. So the tour guide helped me to know what I was looking at so I wasn't wasting my time so I could maximize my trip. Make sense? Let me show you one more picture. Here is a pronunciation guide. Now, I was looking at the one in Spanish because I do speak a little bit of Spanish. But I speak un poquito. I used to work in a restaurante with my cocineros en la cocina. Y me di comida por la gente. There you go. I just said I used to work in the kitchen with my cooks and we made food for the people. There you go. Translation. So this is English, and so like for example, the letter A up top left here, the letter A sounds like at, cat, mat, or snap. And somebody said, the next one they said, or sounds like winder, or something like that. And I said, okay, I get it. Different parts of the country, ka, ipataka, or if you're from Chicago, you say happy birthday. So the pronunciation guide, it teaches us how to say words properly. And so these are all different pictures of different guys that kind of help us along the way. There's one guy that I haven't mentioned yet who's the most important guide, and his name is the Holy Spirit. Out of any guide you ever want to have, the Holy Spirit is the guide you want to have. Because Jesus says that he will lead us into all truth, right? That's what Jesus says of the Holy Spirit. And so today, the title of the message today is Hope Guides Us. Hope guides us. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says this. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Now turn over with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It might be a page turn, it might be on the same sequence of pages. It says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you so much that you came into our world, into our life, to bring us hope. Lord, we pray today that as we begin this Christmas series, that we would begin to experience hope like never before in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
So let me just kind of set this up for you today. So I'm going to be asking a series of questions talking about some of the points that we're looking at today from the Word. So let me ask this question first off. Do you remember that feeling, those of us who are parents, when you had your first kid? There were all sorts of different feelings, weren't there? There was feelings of excitement. There was feelings of, what's my kid going to be like? If you didn't know the gender of your child, it was probably, am I going to have a boy or am I going to have a girl? Some of you were like, I don't care what I'm going to have as long as it's healthy. I remember when we had our first child, Shay. And the feeling of hope that I had that I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to be a dad to a little girl. That is going to change my life forever. Now, I will tell you this. I was pretty hopeful because Shay is the first girl Versalono born in America. That was kind of cool. The last girl Versalono born was my great aunt Canette, who was born in Italy in 1895 or 1897. And so I was pretty excited because Shay is the first girl Versalono born. And when I remember calling my mom and dad, and I said, we're pregnant, we're having a girl. And my dad kind of chuckled. They said, Tim, you can't have a girl. Versalonos don't know how to have girls. My dad had a brother. I've got two younger brothers. And I said, Dad, you watch and see. We're having a girl. And sure enough, we had a girl. And so I remember when Shay was born, I had this wonderful and great sense of hope of what is her life going to look like? What is she going to do? What is going to happen for her? I had hope for my family. I had hope for her future. Hope for the people that her life would touch. And then we had Casey, and then we had Jackson. I had that same feeling for all three of my kids. That sense of, what is their life going to look like? So this brings us to our first point. The first thing I want to talk about today is take it from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it says, "For unto us a child is born, and a child is born to bring hope." A child is born to bring hope. Now, I want to start this off by asking a question. Asking another question. Where do you need to let the Lord bring hope to you? Where do you need to let the Lord bring hope to you? You might be thinking right now, where do I need to let the Lord bring hope to me? Because we live in a pretty hopeless world sometimes, don't we? I don't know about you, but there have been times that I have felt hopeless. There's been times I felt like I didn't know where to go. I've been times I felt like my back was against the wall, and I wish the wall would give way so I could just fall through it, and then the wall would fall on top of me, and then that'd be it. Has anybody ever felt that way before? You're just like, okay, God, what is going on? And I want to ask the question again. Where do you need to let the Lord bring hope to you? See, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 gives us a very clear picture that hope begins with faith. It tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me grab my bottle of water here. You might be thinking, man, Pastor, you do a lot with bottles of water. Yeah, I do, but it's just a great illustration. You can do so much with a bottle of water. Now, as you can tell, I've drank some of this because I was thirsty. But imagine for a second if this bottle of water was still full, not cracked open. Pull it right out of the case. If I didn't know that this bottle of water had the potential to quench my thirst, I would just let it sit there and be thirsty. Right? If I didn't know that I could open this lid and take a drink, I wouldn't know that I would be refreshed temporarily. Make sense? See, the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. But if I know that this water will quench my thirst, then I know that I can crack it open. It's not a hope. I know that it'll do what it's supposed to do. It will quench the thirst. Make sense? See, and the Bible tells us that even though we can't see the air, even though we can't know what's happening around us sometimes, hope is still there. The potential is there. The potential to quench the thirst is there. And see, hope is a lot like air. Here's what I mean by that. You really can't see the air, right? You don't wake up in the morning thinking, oh man, I hope I can breathe today. I hope there's air. I hope there's enough air for me to breathe. Some of us maybe wake up sometimes and feel, I hope I can breathe if you have asthma or different conditions. But typically, you can't see the air that we breathe, right? Now, for 19 years of my life, I lived in Southern California, and we lived through our share of forest fires. Sometimes they got pretty close to the house, and we actually could see the air that we breathed, and it was not very pleasant. It just kind of burns and just goes all the way down. But as a general rule, you really can't see the air that you breathe. And see, sometimes hope is a lot like air. Sometimes you need to just stop and breathe for a minute and go, God, help me. And can I give you a piece of good news? He will always help you. Why? Because he wants you to have hope. He wants you to have hope. See, you heard me mention a little while ago about the hope that I felt when we had all three of our kids. That hope for each of my kids has only grown. I've got a lot of hope in the substance of their potential. See, water, like we've talked at over the past couple of months, it does a lot more than just quench thirst, doesn't it? You can grow things, you can put fires out, you can boil it and make spaghetti. You can do all sorts of great stuff with water. There's all sorts of potential in this substance. And faith is the substance of things hope for. I hope all my kids succeed. I hope they all do well in school. I hope they all marry godly people. I hope that my kids are successful. I hope that my kids live for Jesus all the days of their life and teach and train their kids to do the same. I hope. See, hope is a powerful thing, isn't it? See, there's times when I pray for my family and when I don't know what to pray, I will ask the wonderful counselor, the one who we're talking about, the Holy Spirit, I will ask him to bring counsel that is wonderful because that's what he does. The wonderful counselor brings counsel that is wonderful and we might not even agree with it sometimes. How many times have you prayed and God answers a prayer differently than the way you thought he would? He says, okay, you prayed for this, but I'm going to do this. Because God knows what we need, doesn't he? He knows what we need more than we know what we need, even though we think we know pretty well. But his counsel is always wonderful. Because he is the wonderful counselor. This is what he does because it's who he is. See, hope is a wonderful thing. Hope is a wonderful thing. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever hoped for something and didn't see it happen? That one kind of hits home, doesn't it? There's been plenty of things that I've hoped for that I didn't see happen. But I still hope. It doesn't mean that I stop hoping. There's been hard things that I've walked through. There's been, no doubt, hard things that we've all walked through. Does it mean we stop hoping? No, we don't stop hoping. We have to continue hoping. Oh, but sometimes it hurts. Pastor, you don't understand what's going on in my life. You know, I don't understand, but the Holy Spirit understands. And the Bible still says that he is the wonderful counselor, and he can help make sense of it all. It's just what he does. It's what he does because it's who he is. See, Proverbs tells us in chapter 13, verse 12, he says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. That hits right home, doesn't it? You ever hope for something long enough, hard enough, long enough? If I just pray a little bit harder, if I just hope a little bit more. But the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. But that's not where this passage ends. It says, even though hope deferred makes the heart sick, when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. That's good news. Here's what it means. It doesn't say it's a piece of fruit that refreshes you and tastes good for a moment. It says when the hope is realized, it's a tree of life. A tree of life you keep going back to and you can get more from it. You can get more from it. You can get more from it for different situations, different things in life that you walk through. See, when hope is realized, it is a tree of life. Everybody say life.
Life.
It's a tree of life. See, the next thing Jesus says to us, he says, a son is given to restore hope. We talked a second ago about a child is born to bring hope. From Isaiah chapter 9 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A son is given to restore hope. Let me begin with this question. Where have you had hope but lost it? There's been times I've lost hope. Doesn't feel very good. It's kind of sad, huh? Where you just hope and you hope and you hope. And it's like, oh God, I thought you were going to really come through for me. And I don't understand. Some stuff I'm not going to understand until the day I see Jesus face to face. And you know what? As much as I would love to answer those why questions, I've got to be okay with that. That's part of what having faith is all about, because God is just bigger than I am. He knows more of what's happening. And sometimes I've just got to say, God, I don't get it, but will you help me to learn to be okay with whatever it is that you're trying to teach me? God, will you help me somehow receive hope? And see, the word tells us a son is given to restore hope. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says this. It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Every single one of us in this room, at one point in our life, was lost. Every single one of us. We're all here today because the Bible says we were lost, but now we've been found. Thank God for his saving grace. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, a Son is given to restore hope. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. See, the ministry of Jesus is all about restoration and reconciliation. Everything Jesus does is about restoring and reconciling. He wants to restore us to himself and reconcile us to the Father. That is why Jesus came. Oh, man, that is good news. See, there's a reconciliation to God and a restoring broken relationship that sin caused that Jesus wants to do away with. See, reconciling and restoring us to each other and to God. That's where that forgiveness comes in that we've been talking about. God forgave us. The Bible says, for God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. He's forgiven us. See, one of the most quoted verses in the Bible, John 3:16. If you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in God. God says it's just that simple, and we just try to complicate it. It is probably the most quoted verse in the Bible. It's the fact that God loves us, and it's the perfect passage that talks about God restoring hope to His creation. If you're hopeless today, can I give you some good news? There's hope in God. If you're hopeless and you feel like your back is against the wall, you don't know what's happening, you can turn to God and He will help you make it through. I heard somebody say this one time. They said, if God brings you to it, He'll bring you through it. Yeah. And I heard that and I thought, oh man, that'll preach all day and all night, every day, every night. If God brings you to it, He will bring you through it.
Amen.
It's not just a cute little saying, it's a reality, it's the truth. Brings us to our third point together. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it goes on to say, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Now let's talk about this for a minute. A new governance comes so that hope can endure. Let me say that again. A new governance comes so that hope can endure. Here's what that means. Many of us, probably most if not all of us, have grown up with a cynicism and a skepticism when it comes to government. Right? Now, you may be sitting here thinking, oh, no, government's wonderful. I love government. That's awesome. God bless you. And what's that? Yeah. And see, whether this is a result of well-publicized scandals, because, you know, we've seen our share of scandals. I don't study history as much as I probably should, but as someone who knows enough of history, I've looked back and I found myself thinking over the years, Lord, where was the beginning point that people began to be so skeptical and cynical of government officials? Was it President Nixon and Watergate? Was it John F. Kennedy? Was it Andrew Jackson? I really don't know, but I do know this. Romans chapter 13, 1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Hit the brakes for a second here. There is no authority except from God. Really? Well, that's what the Word says, and if God's Word is true, then God's Word is true. It goes on to say this, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, I've never really wanted to run for a public office. I think, frankly, I'd do a whole lot better not being a government person. I think God called me to do the right thing. I love being a pastor, and I love touching people's lives the way that God's called me to touch them. But I can tell you what the Word tells me to do. It doesn't call me to bash my leaders. It calls me to pray for them. Especially because God says, everything that's in place, it was my idea. Is it perfect? No, but God is. God tells me to pray for people who rule over me that I may lead a quiet and peaceful life. That sounds like a great plan, to live a quiet and peaceful life. See, and I know this. I know that the enemy hates God so much that he will do anything he can to distract us from God's plan and from God's purpose. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, here's what it's talking about. It says, even though the kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom, one day Jesus is coming back. And when he does, the whole game is going to completely change. Because it's not going to be just a spiritual kingdom, it's going to be a physical kingdom and a spiritual kingdom. How does that all work? I'm really not certain. But one thing that I do know is this, that Jesus is Lord of that kingdom. That is the kingdom, my friends, that we are a part of today. See, it's nothing like we have ever seen before. And we need to make sure that the skepticism and the cynicism that we sometimes feel doesn't manifest when we're told that Jesus loves us and God has a great plan for our lives. Because if we as Christians, and if we as followers of Christ have a cynicism and a skepticism, something needs to change. Fast. Amen? If I ever hear somebody say, Tim, God loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. And I go, pfft. You know what I'm walking through. That's a pretty good indicator that something's happening in my heart that needs to be fixed. That I need to surrender to the Lord. Amen? See, let me tell you something. Doubt and unbelief are the results of skepticism and cynicism. Doubt and unbelief are the results of skepticism and cynicism. It's the opposite of faith, right? Doubt is the opposite of faith. See, many people say, well, fear is the opposite of faith. No, the Bible says in 1 John, perfect love casts out all fear.
Yeah.
Perfect love is the opposite of faith.
Yeah.
Is the opposite of love. Faith and doubt can't live in the same house together.
Yeah.
Right? Doubt and unbelief are the results of skepticism. If there's anything that is doubtful or unbelieving in your life, say, God, help me.
Yes.
And guess what? He will.
Amen.
He'll help you. Why? We've heard me say it before. Because he loves us just that much. He loves you just that much. Don't allow doubt and unbelief to set up tent in your life. A few years back, a presidential candidate ran on a platform, pretty much just one word, hope. Remember? There was the cool poster, and it was really kind of slick, and it was a cool poster. But I want to tell you this. No government, it is not the government's responsibility, it's not the government's job to give us hope. Now, there will be things that we experience hope because of government assistance, that's fine. But it's not our government's job to provide hope. It's not even a candidate's job to provide hope. Let me tell you whose job it is. It's Jesus' job.
Yeah.
Jesus gives us hope. Jesus is the one who brings hope. That's good news. So you may be sitting here today and say, you know, yeah, sometimes I feel kind of hopeless. Sometimes I feel like, what's the point? Well, maybe you've been looking to the wrong source for hope. Maybe you need to stop looking for this and start looking to Jesus. Oh, well, you preachers and this, you know what? I couldn't make it without the Lord in my life. I really couldn't. I can't imagine having walked through some things in life that I've walked through. This is just speaking about me personally. Because I know that we have all walked through different things, haven't we? None of our path has been the same. But I do know this. Jesus brings hope. See, when this says in Isaiah 9:6, it says, the government will be upon his shoulder. It refers to the fact that Jesus is Lord. It refers to the fact that Jesus is Lord. The question is, how much lordship do we give Jesus in our life? Is he Lord of just a little bit, or is he Lord of it all? Is he Lord of the hopeless situations, or is he Lord of all the good times as well? Is Jesus Lord when I'm driving 75 miles an hour and I shouldn't be? Or is he Lord when I'm driving 65 and obeying the speed limit? I needed to bring that under Jesus' lordship and say, oh, I wasn't going to pass that day. See, Jesus is Lord of our lives, but we need to say, Jesus, be Lord of it all. I don't want Jesus to just be Lord of this little piece of my heart and say, okay, Jesus, this belongs to you, but all the rest of this over here, I got this. I can take care of this. I'm good. I'm just fine. See, Jesus not only brings hope, but Jesus is Lord. I want him to be Lord of my entire heart, my entire life, my entire family, my marriage, my church, my ministry, every person that I touch. I want Jesus to be Lord because Jesus is the one who brings hope, and hope guides us. Hope will guide us. If you're hopeless, what happens? You just feel kind of lost and just, like I said, you just against a wall and just kind of leave me alone. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then he wants to guide us with his hope. And that's what he's telling us today. See, part of God being with us is that hope will guide us. When we don't know which way to go, when we don't know what to do, we say, Jesus, guide me, and he will guide us. Let me go ahead and conclude. Worship team, come on back up. See, God desires to be with us. And Jesus made that possible. I'm going to say that again. God desires to be with us. And Jesus makes that possible. That's why we're talking about Emmanuel. God with us. He wants to bring hope that will guide you, not only for this Christmas season, not only until December 31st, but he wants to bring hope into your life that guides you well into 2018, in 2019, in 2020, in 2000, however long it is before Jesus comes back. He could come back in the next 5 minutes and I'd be fine with it. Are there still people I'm praying for? Absolutely. But Jesus can do in moments what it takes men to do in months. See, he wants to give us hope. Can I ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads with me today as we're coming to the conclusion of our time together? You may be here today and say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. I just feel like my life just spins sometimes out of control. Can I ask if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life? Because if you haven't, He wants to come in and He wants to change your life. Not just for the sake of change, but for the sake of winning you back. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you want to do that today, would you slip up your hand and say, yes, that's me. I want to have this hope you're talking about, Pastor Tim. I want Jesus to be my Lord today. I want Him to come in to my heart. I want to give Him everything. I want to hold nothing back. Let me ask this next question. You may be here today and say, you know what, I've prayed that prayer a long time ago. I became a Christian a long time ago, but I've kind of walked away from that. And I want to come back. I'm tired of where my life has been. I'm really desperate for things to get better. You can recommit your life to Him and say, Jesus, from this day forward, it's all going to change. If that's you, you say, I want to come back to the Lord today. Would you raise your hand today and say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask one last question. And this will be all the questions I ask today. You may be here today and you say, you know, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for however long it's been. And sometimes I just do. I just feel hopeless. I feel like I just need the Lord to guide me. I feel like I'm stuck in Proverbs 13, that passage you said. It says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. But when the hope is realized, it's like a tree of life. I want to get to that place where hope isn't deferred. And I'm not so skeptical and I'm not so doubtful. And I just want to hope again. If that's you and you say, I want to see this change in my life, would you raise your hand and say, I want this to change. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Church, I just want to ask, could we stand together? As we're standing, I just want to ask, could we just continue to keep our eyes closed, our heads bowed? I just want to ask, would you just pray this simple prayer with me? There's nothing magical about the words, but I do want to encourage you to pray it from your heart. Would you just pray this with me? Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I want to say thank you for giving me hope that my life could be different, that my life could be better, better than it is. I want to live a life that you want me to live, a life that is full, abundant, filled with grace, filled with goodness, filled with hope. So Jesus, I invite you in. Be my Lord. Take control. Holy Spirit, I ask you, would you fill me to overflowing? Would you remove the doubt? Would you be my wonderful counselor? My ears are open. My heart is receptive. I want to be the person that you've made me to be. Now I just want to take a moment. Now as we're gathered here in this place, I thank you, Jesus, that your word tells us, that we just looked at a little while ago, that the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came to seek and save that which is lost. And so in Jesus' name, where there's been doubt, where there's been unbelief, where there's been a diminishing of faith in our lives, where there's been hopelessness, I pray, Jesus, that you would break the back of hopelessness in our lives. I pray for every man and for every woman who indicated by raising their hand. Lord, I know there's probably people in here that didn't raise their hand because they weren't quite sure, should I raise it or should I not? God, your response isn't dependent upon whether a hand is raised. God, I pray in Jesus' name that right now, that you would break that back of hopelessness and that hope would be released into every single man, into every single woman right now, within the sound of my voice, in Jesus' name. God, as we are reaching out in faith to lay hold of hope, to lay hold of your purpose for our life, in Jesus' name, I thank you that when we go from this place today, we are leaving transformed and changed because of the hope that we have in you. Jesus, just like water quenches our thirst, just like air fills our lungs, I pray that hope would fill our lives, and that Jesus, as we keep our eyes on you, that hopelessness would be far from us, and that our lives would be filled with hopefulness. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can I give you some good news before we get ready to leave? He's working in there. You may say, well, you know, I don't really feel any different after we prayed. Well, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. I know that God wired us with emotions. That's how he made us. Some of you are saying, oh, you know what? I am feeling that. I'm feeling completely changed. And God's doing something there. Praise God. But whether you're feeling something or whether you're not, the Holy Spirit is at work in every single one of our lives right now. Amen. This very moment. And that's great news. Amen. 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 Well, it's been a good day to be in God's house.
Amen.
I love being here with you guys. Amen. Just leave. I go home and I just feel great because I'm with people who love Jesus. It's wonderful. Well, would you stretch your hands this way and receive this benediction, this blessing as we get ready to go? Now, Jesus, I want to say thank you for every man, for every woman, for every boy, and for every girl that are here today. Lord, I want to thank you for those who couldn't make it today for whatever reasons, whether they're out of town traveling because it's a nice weekend or whatever the reason might be. But Lord, for those who are here hearing the sound of my voice, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we go from this place, that our lives would be filled with hope like never before.
Yes.
I pray, Jesus, that as we go out of this place and go into our homes, into our workplaces, into our communities, that there would be such hope that radiates from us because of the glory of God that is in our lives. Holy Spirit, would you lead us and would you guide us? Church, I declare today that you are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, that you are blessed and not cursed, and that whatever you set your hands to prospers in Jesus' name. And as you receive that, would you shout amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.